Bible Interact is a group of Bible scholars and biblical archaeologists who promote the Hebraic nature of Scripture and view the two Testaments as one unified message. They explain how they use a first century approach to searching the Scriptures, and they share their methods and discoveries for discussion and dialogue. They invite your comments and participation on BibleInteract.tv, where you can also find more teachings, self-study quizzes, webinars, and interviews.
Hello, my name is Christy Anderson. Welcome to Bible Interact Presents. Today I'd love to share with you about a new blog that I just recently got going and online. It's called GreatCommissionAtHome.com. Again, that's GreatCommissionAtHome.com. And here, the purpose of doing this blog was to share my doctoral research journey in the hope that you will both benefit from the insights gleaned and be challenged to fulfill the Great Commission right where you are at, in your own home. Now, the overarching theme of my doctoral dissertation began as a focus on how age segregation is impacting the church and our ability to share the good news with future generations. And so I began looking at that element, and that has now expanded into looking at the way we do church in general and contrasting that with the biblical way they did church. And I'm using church in the modern sense, not necessarily in the biblical sense of doing church. How do we come together? How do we worship together? When do we come together? Why do we come together? And how we come together? And so the books that you'll be seeing here have to do with that topic, and various arms of that topic and how they interrelate. The problem that I saw was that statistically 88% of the children growing up in evangelical churches were leaving by age 18. Now, I don't know, and I would love the statisticians to start doing some research within Messianic and Hebraic Roots groups to see if there has been any change, or if we're actually dragging a lot of the maybe not so biblical way of doing church into the Messianic Hebraic Roots without realizing it and, you know, reaping the same results, even though we've recaptured what I think is absolutely necessary to do, you know, and I fully affirm that we should be keeping the Lord's appointed times. Absolutely. Even this week in Charisma magazine, there was an article that they published, and it was calling the church quite straightforward that we need to go back and get on God's calendar. We need to get off the calendar we're on and back onto God's calendar. And so that was quite exciting to see that Charisma magazine would actually publish something so direct and so timely for where we're at today. Now, as I was looking at this whole issue, you know, what is wrong? The premise that conclusion that I've come to so far, I'm about halfway through my research. I've read about half the books, and you can actually see a picture of the two stacks of books, ones that I have read, and then ones that are to be read still. And I will be going through daily and publishing excerpts and insights from these readings that I do. And basically, you'll have book reviews so you can glean, if you will, from all this reading without actually having to read them all yourself. I'll save you a little time. Again, that's greatcommissionathome.com if you're interested in checking it out. And so as I've started to formulate sort of the premise behind the doctoral research that I've done, what I've seen is that we have been divided. And that whole idea of divided is really at the center of everything that's going on right now that has caused us to fail in our efforts to pass the gospel to future generations. We've been divided theologically, physically, in terms of age segregation, as well as spiritually. And also physically, I guess you could say, in terms of Jew and Gentile, that's been a huge one as well. Now, in warfare, the goal to overcome an enemy is to divide and conquer. Now, we have an enemy, and he has convinced many to follow a course of division, and it is now bringing forth a harvest of tares rather than wheat. These divisions tear at the fabric of the gospel itself and make it impossible to transfer the good news to future generations, unless people like you, from the comfort of your own home, begin to stand up and make a change. You can make a difference. In fact, you have been called by God for such a time as this. So the solution really then is first a return to the scriptures. And we're hearing that in the Messianic Hebraic roots. We've got to get back to the original text. Sola scriptura as a doctrine needs to be absolute. It's not just a kind of, sort of, we'll follow what we inherited and be the stepchild of the Catholic Church, for the Protestants anyway, and we'll kind of do a blended thing. You know, it's sola scriptura. It's scriptures alone are the only thing necessary to determine faith and doctrine and faith in how we do things, in other words, how we worship God. We need a return to the methods that God has given us to pass on those good news. Again, we've started to see this in the Messianic Hebraic roots, although even so, we need to really reexamine how we're doing church. Are we just mimicking what we see basically, you know, in the church, that even within, I would say, you know, those trying to do a Torah service in the Messianic groups, really, there's not a big difference between that and, you know, church service. You're adding a little bit of Hebrew and doing it in Hebrew instead of English. But fundamentally, are we transforming and making disciples in that kind of style? Now, there's nothing wrong with coming together for a Torah service. But if that's the extent of our gathering and, you know, we're not adding to the other things. Now, some congregations have the discipling element, so they'll have the interactive Torah discussions or they'll have other things. But all of these things need to be considered as we're looking at how we're doing church. How are we coming together? Are we making disciples? Are we including age-integrated fellowship? Are we really transforming lives? Are we impacting and getting people in our community, you know, to come in? Are we isolating ourselves and just sort of playing church? Are we, you know, separating and not really impacting anyone's life? We're just, you know, looking more religious in a different way. So all these questions are things we need to look at. Now, this is going to take also a return to the system of church that God designed in the beginning, a return to a biblical understanding of our own identity as a community in Messiah. And this has a lot to do with, you know, Jew and Gentile coming together as one new man. What does that really look like? What does the Bible say that that really looks like? And in so doing, we will sow good seeds and we will reap a bountiful harvest in every generation. But where do we start? Well, it's all going to start with a family on a piece of land somewhere in the world that God has placed them in, their own home. Discipleship starts in the home. We know this from Deuteronomy 6, 4 and following. And it starts with you. What does it look like in a nutshell? Well, it looks like people who are willing to first and foremost believe God, i.e. truly believe his word. When he says in Genesis 2:2-3 that the seventh day he sanctified and set apart from all the other days, well, do we believe that? Are we willing to live that truth? It's good to take people, or it's going to take people that are willing to step out of the current system of church as usual in order to put the word of God to the test in their own lives, in order to prove that those things be so. In other words, from Acts 17:11, if we take that phrase. It's going to take people of courage willing to step out of the box of traditions that they have inherited and some false doctrines that they have inadvertently come to believe. It will start in our homes, where families come back together for worship, teaching, and discipleship. Here, parents rediscover their mandate to teach and disciple their own children. It will start when God's people realize they are not to divide over racial and denominational lines, but by city and province. It will start when God's people stop dividing God's word itself and God's people, when they stop listening to the same lie Hasatan gave Eve in the garden, convincing her that God's word is not trustworthy, or that it does not or should not no longer apply to her. It will start when God's people recall the foremost of all commandments, which of course is to Shema, or hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You know, when we usually ask someone in the church, you know, what's the foremost commandment? What did Yeshua or Jesus say was the foremost commandment? They'll say, love God and love your neighbor. And really, that's after the and, after the conjunction in that sentence. The first commandment is to hear. If we don't hear, and that hear comes with the intent to obey what is heard, if we don't hear, we can't love. And if we can't love, we're not going to love God or neighbor, and we're not going to fulfill the great foremost commandment. The master said, my sheep, Shema, they hear my voice. Each of us, you and I, have to learn how to hear the voice of the master. And in so doing, we will once again walk in love for God and for neighbor. Only then will we be able to pass on the good news from generation to generation. Now, what are the practical, though concrete, now what solutions? You know, I'm all about, give me what I really need to do. Like, give me something I can put my hands on. Well, it starts by stepping out of the system as usual and going back to the Word of God in every single area of ministry. From how we do church, to how we learn to obey God, from how we evangelize our family and our neighbors, to how we celebrate festivals and how we worship God. It starts looking something like this. People who are willing to form home-based but city-networked, family and age-integrated, elder couples-led, discipleship and multiplication-styled, praise and worship-oriented, Messiah-centered, Torah-honoring, faith-based system of church in their own homes. Such a system is meant to be lived out in small groups of approximately 2 to 20 people, or basically 4 to 6 family units. A single would include one family unit, so that number is going to vary slightly. Now, it'll be these people who are capable then of experiencing real organic relationships while encountering and wrestling with the reality of God's word in their lives. As they study God's word together and join hands with other small groups like themselves in citywide celebrations at the appointed times, as detailed in scripture. God has designed a system of worship, discipleship, and fellowship for us in his word. But it's up to us to go back to the scriptures and begin to walk it out. Rather than another reformation, as we had back in the late 20s, early 30s of the 1500s? Well, back then, we had a reformation, and we recaptured some of the doctrinal points, but we never really recaptured how we did things fully to their full biblical sense. And we're still now, unfortunately, sliding back. It's like one step forward, two steps back, based on how we're doing things. So we need to re-examine this in light of Scripture. And because the bottom line is, if there's no fruit on the limb needs to come down. So, and it will get cut off. So we basically need to look at the stats and realize that we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again that just does not produce fruit. Why waste our time? You know, you only have so much time to do your work that God has given you. So make it count. We are called by God for such a time as this to join him in his greater restoration, to prepare a way for the return of the King. Throughout this blog, I'm hoping to share more details related to this mission of ours. some practical and some theological and exegetical. I hope you'll join with me in this journey, and together we will overcome the statistics. We will restore what the enemy has stolen, and we will raise up a powerful generation who will not let the light of Zion and the message of salvation be put out. Now, if you happen to go back and you're looking and you're able to go to my blog at greatcommissionathome.com, you'll notice that if you hit the blog page, it'll show you various posts of books. I also have a link for books reviewed quick list, it's called. So you can see a quick list of the various books that I've already posted so far, or that I'm currently posting. And one of the first books I did was called A Weed in the Church: How a Culture of Age Segregation is Harming the Younger Generation, Fragmenting the Family, and Dividing the Church. This is by Scott T. Brown, and he is quite well known. He's involved with the National Center for Family Integrated Churches, and this was a really excellent book. Highly recommend it. Goes into the problems of age segregation and the history behind age segregation in the church, how it came from, basically it came from evolutionary and Platonic thought, where people thought, like Plato thought, you shouldn't, you know, parents shouldn't even know their children. They should be the property of the state. And we're seeing a lot of that in our culture today. And sadly, the introduction of Sunday school back, well, I guess it's over 100 years now, but or maybe it wasn't quite that long. I'm really bad with my dates. Go to the blog, look at the dates, you can get the exact dates. But there was a transition definitely that occurred by 1950s. We were seeing it come into full swing. But in any case, a philanthropist had originally sought to educate and try to help these children who were basically playing in the street, neglected by parents who were non-believers. And so he started this idea of Sunday school. Well, it started to catch on in the churches, and many people within Christianity fought it quite hard because they realized that fathers would probably, or more likely, abrogate their responsibility to teach their own children, which is exactly what we have today. The system you grow up in, now you think, how can we not do it this way? How can we not have Sunday school and church this way and age-segregated learning and all that? But maybe all of that is premised off something that is completely the antithesis of the biblical model. And if that's true, then it's no wonder 88% of our kids are not coming to know the Lord. Anyway, this book, A Weed in the Church, has many, many great insights, a lot of the history of how age segregation is really harming not only the church, but fragmenting the family, really keeping us disabled in the community. So if you're especially a Hebraic roots or Messianic community, I strongly recommend reading this book, because we do not want to drag this kind of false theology and false doctrine along with us as we're being restored in the Sabbath and the feasts and so forth. Those appointed times that we're coming together as a community, we don't want to bring that false teaching in with us in this move. So that one I highly recommend. And one of the second books I had posted is called Truth That Sticks: How to Communicate Velcro Truth in a Teflon World, by Avery T. Willis Jr. and Mark Snowden. This book is really great. In fact, Izzy Avraham, I put a link also, he has just a recorded teaching that he did recently, I think at the Hebraic Roots Conference, on this book. He quotes extensively from this book, and you'll see that. You can also get the finer points from that book in my book review of it on the website. Again, that's greatcommissionathome.com. And so when you go, you'll be able to either listen if you don't have time to read or don't want to read, or if you prefer the written, you can look at my book review, and I've got both linked there on the blog. Now, one of the other books that I'm currently working on, I did also do a book called Planting a Family Integrated Church. This one was all right. It has some okay information for those of you looking at planting a church. It wasn't as helpful yet as some of the other books I've read. I've got another one by him that's the prequel to that. So this is the second book that he wrote on this topic. The first one was more general and might have more points, but I haven't read it yet. So kind of ended up doing this one in reverse, but it was by J. Mark Fox, and might be helpful for some of you. I took the finer points that might be helpful if you are planning to do a family integrated church or a home church. Now, the next book that I'm currently on and currently doing posts for, daily, basically giving you chapters from, or reviews from each chapter, is the House Church book. And this is Rediscovering the Dynamic, Organic, Relational, Viral Community Jesus Started. This is by Wolfgang Simpson. And highly, highly recommend this book. I think people in the Messianic Hebraic Roots especially will be just blown away at how the paradigm shift that he is talking about within how we do church parallels, near identical to the same paradigm shift that we're experiencing as the return to the Torah as applicable to the life of the believer. This has been something really interesting to me as I've read through this, and you know, I'm producing extensive notes on this one because I think it's just so important for not only the greater church body, but the even within the Messianic Hebraic Roots. I really think leaders within the Messianic Hebraic Roots need to get a hold of this book and really think about how we're doing church and how we're doing community and how we're networking and how we encourage and grow people that so many are coming into the Torah movement, coming out of church and feeling abandoned and not having a place to go and not knowing what to do. But this book has so many suggestions. When I add that book and the information on that to the Truth That Sticks book by Willis and Snowden with the storying and how that works, I think many people will be really excited because it's really going to empower you. This information will empower you not only what to do, but how to start your own home church network in your cities, in your towns, and begin to do it in a way that's manageable. You don't have to be a professional and know all the answers. You can, in fact, network in with communities like myself. We're starting, as I'm doing this blog, I'm also in the midst, since I moved to Phoenix a year ago, and had to leave our church that we had started in Albuquerque. And now we're just this last week started our first kickoff for a new home church network. So we are really going to go back to this idea of home church, and it's so important. In future programs, I am going to definitely expound more on this topic because it's so important and it's so needed right now. But I think a lot of you who are just, you know, consider yourself the lay people who you're like, I don't know enough. How am I ever going to do this? I miss community, but I can't go in the church again because I can't go back to that system. But the Messianics, there's either nothing around me or there's not the right fit. This is really your answer, I'm telling you. I'm real excited to share more about it, and I definitely will be doing that in the next coming few shows. So I hope you'll come back and listen. Again, go to the blog at greatcommissionathome.com. Again, that's greatcommissionathome.com. I've also like to just quickly in the last minute here share with you that I have started a new book called Living Faith, A Journey into the Nature of Faith. It's a 7-week program for individual, family integrated, or small group study. I have sections for the youth as well as the adults. And then they, as you go through, it begins to blend together so that you can really learn how to do some integrated learning together at all ages and study. It really dives into faith. I mean, faith is the single most important thing we need in step one of this journey. And all of our kids need to have this kind of foundation And a lot of us even need to go back and really understand it. So I hope you'll join with me again. GreatCommissionAtHome.com. Again, GreatCommissionAtHome.com.